Hey everyone, welcome to Was That in Good Taste presents Behind the Bar. My name is Chandler Phillips.
I'm James Beery.
And today we have a very special episode because we're trying a type of whiskey that's made in the weirdest fashion we've ever heard. Wow, we've drank a lot of that so far.
Oh my God.
My goodness.
Whoa, this bottle's not even 3 days old.
Yikes.
Oh my God.
Remember to like, comment, subscribe so you can keep up with all the other amazing spirits that we've been trying on Behind the Bar and all the amazing cocktails we've been making on Was That in Good Taste.
That's been absolutely amazing. Of course, and all the super amazing, super short videos that turned longer than they should at the tasting table. There you go. Those are all the plugs.
Love it.
Those are all the plugs.
So this whiskey we got here, kind of found it just on a whim. It's by a recognizable label, Redemption Whiskey. They're known for their rye, their bourbon, their high rye bourbon, which is one of my personal favorites. But what we have here is the Sir Lee Rye. And took us a little bit of research trying to figure out.
I'll make sure I save a little bit so I can have an old-fashioned with it later.
Ooh, interesting. I kind of, now that we saw it, At the liquor store in the financial district.
In FIDI.
I've kind of been seeing them popping up in just the little boutique liquor stores in and around Brooklyn. What makes this so confusingly interesting and special.
Wildly so.
It's the Sir Lee style. And that's a style of aging post-fermentation that contributes an entire new aspect of tannins or lack thereof and a whole new dimension of flavor and notes to the actual spirit. Now, James, you were doing a little research on just what the Sir Lee process is.
So
can you tell us a little about that?
We kind of have to like take a step and look at what distillate, like how you do distillation.
Yeah.
Right? Because you take all your grains and shit, right? Whatever you did to them, you malt them, you do all the stuff.
You malt them, you smoke them.
Yeah, you do the thing.
You yada yada them.
You put the thing in the thing, you boil the water. The water evaporates into the thing, and then at the end, you're left with a byproduct. You're left with spent grain.
Yes.
The back set. And all the alcohol is out of it, and all the stuff that's going to be out of it is sucked out of it. And now you're just left with this mash, this trash.
It's you know what you can do with it?
Throw it away.
Oh, you can compost it. It's actually pretty good for compost, just FYI.
You could. So they call it the lees.
Wait, now, so the lees is, the way they're describing it.
It's so dark, I can't.
It's called the whiskey lees because it's post fermentation. Okay. All right.
Oh yes. So that's
this
the...
isn't what I was doing the research on because I was a little confused on whether or not this is after you boil it.
That's the thing I was wondering
after
about.
After you or ferment it, and so what I found out is that you put all your grains and stuff in the thing. You still strain out as much as you can, but when you throw the yeasts in, there's still going to be some particles that are left that are going to separate. And so there are, in winemaking...
Yes.
Because that's the analog, is their whole shtick is like, it's done...
A French winemaking technique.
Exactly. In the winemaking technique, post-fermentation...
Of course, it's post-fermentation.
The solids will separate, and some will float to the top that are made of the grape and husks and stuff like that that just kind of made its way into the juice. And the bottom will be the yeast lees. And they're what's known as the fine lees because it's more of a fine sediment.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The plant ones are the gross lees. Because they fucking stink.
They stink.
They fucking gross. No, it's just because of the.
Also,
the
these volume. Are words they made up, right? Because from what I understood, they just took things that existed and made their own words for it.
The whiskey lees, I'm guessing, they're referring to just all of the sediments that kind of sunk to the bottom and But it is based on, they're using the language of winemaking in a way that, so once you age it, after you ferment it and stuff, you throw some of these back in. And so that's why, like, our Georgian orange wines that we have have a whole lot of sediment.
Yes.
Those are the lees. We got the lees. We got the lees.
Oh,
we got
So they're just literally, whoa.
Yeah, we got
they're
the
They're just
lees.
Taking the sediment that you strain out,
mm-hmm.
or that you usually leave. And
they're aging
and
it,
And they're fermenting it in there?
They're leaving.
So
do they
put them in, or do they just leave it? Do you know what I mean? Like, do they scrape it out? Because in the picture, it looks like they scrape it out and add it back.
They scrape it out, they add it back, and then they have to regularly stir it.
Oh, because they age it separately before they put the lees in.
Yeah.
They only put the lees in for a certain period of time.
So, yeah. And then they have to agitate it. They gotta agitate it. And so they also do that. They use the big old paddle thing to kind of agitate the water. But then they'll roll the barrels periodically. They'll just take the barrels out on a walk. Don't mind me, just walking my barrel here. I gotta sir my lees. I think it.
It's interesting. Do they keep both the gross lees and the fine lees?
So it is non-chill filtered. So it's no chill, but filtered nonetheless, to take out as many of the lees as possible. But because it's more of just like the way the fine sediments have kind of been reincorporated into the water. If we were to add, or into the alcohol, if we were to add water, specifically cold water, it would cause this to get hazy. It would cause an opaqueness similar to the way...
Oh, because some of the lees are bound to the other particulates inside of...
Bing, bang, boom.
Because obviously,
the same thing as absinthe. Absinthe gets hazy?
Because it's been distilled, yes.
Yes.
But it's then been aged... And the color, surprise, you're drinking wood bits, kicking liquor. You're kicking your lees.
I'm kicking my lees out.
What was I saying now? Oh, you're drinking wood bits.
Yeah.
Because
these
particulates
have been absorbed into the ethanol structures.
And these get attached to the structures, but they don't completely merge with them. So as such, they have a chemical reaction, kind of like what happens with butterfly cherry blossom.
Yes.
You know, where it has a minor chemical reaction. It's just like it's bound to, it's like, you know, there's particulates
mm-hmm.
that are separate than what you're seeing inside of it
and
that
so
are reacting.
When you add chilled water or just enough water in general, it'll cause those particulates to fall out of structure and create an opaqueness in the beverage.
I wonder, we should have done this. It's too late now.
Oh, well.
I wonder if it would have changed the flavor.
I don't think it would have changed the flavor. It might have opened it up a little bit.
Because you got to think about it, is that those things are bound to the I guess you would call it the superstructure of what this is. It's one thing, right?
Yeah.
The lees, the particulates, it's all homogenized into one thing. By adding in the cold water, you would affect it and cause the lees to separate. We don't have a fucking lab, but if you were able to take the water out then...
After you destabilized it
and tasted it.
So if you were to just go in, destabilize its structure, and then pull out.
Could you put it in a vacuum? And
you'd
then
just
make
be
it
the CIA.
Cold?
No.
No, because it needs a little bit of oxygen. So leave it in a vacuum with a small amount of oxygen and make it cold.
Or we just try it as is. I mean, I think it's pretty
good. I want to take the lees out. And then I want to try it with the lees separated. And then I want to take the lees
out. You want to molecularly separate these lees?
I want to take the lees out for a walk.
They already walked their lees. They walked their barrels.
So that's very interesting. So, of course, like with a lot of things, one of the reason that you strain those things out is that they're going to contain things that you don't want. And maybe some things that you do want, but generally they'll tend to have the bitter compounds, sour, vinegary, different weird flavors are sitting at the bottom, right?
They are. They do tend to be weird flavors.
No, I'm not gonna say gross.
No, but that's where the funk comes
from.
Yeah,
but it's like extra funky.
But if we're using, so this one in particular, this Lee Rye, is 95% rye whiskey, and the other 5%, I think they say, is malted barley. And if you think it's malted rye, that's a whole lot of sweetness that's fallen in to the, like, the nutty, the shells, the,
again, the malting, taking the grain,
you get
sprouting the grain,
and then caramelizing
the grain
in the grain.
I think it's very important because the distinct flavor of malt is a little hard to describe for people who don't know what it tastes like or haven't had or is able to distinguish what the malt is in a malted beverage.
I think the best way to discover what malt tastes like,
you can say, like, the malted balls,
like you'd put in a
chocolate malt. Was it Ovaltine?
No, well, I guess no, not even that. No, the best way to do it is get Kix and dark chocolate.
Why wouldn't you just get Ovaltine? It's fucking
because it's
malted,
but it's not an income. You have to eat them separately because the Kix.
The other thing is actually malted. It is chocolate.
It's just malted chocolate though. Like, it's not malt. Like, it's not the same cereal. It's not malted cereal grains.
It's malted chocolate. Whoa, I just realized. What the fuck? That's not true. No, that makes sense. I, without knowing anything about how chocolate is made, really, I do know how chocolate's made. They're malting the chocolate.
Yeah.
So it is the same.
No,
because they'll take the cocoa.
But it's not the same, like, it's...
But it is the same.
It's not the same flavor that you can get from just the singular thing. You have to use the two things to triangulate where the flavor is.
What's the most common grain that's malted?
Cereal.
What is cereal made of? Kix? Trix?
Yeah, like
Kellogg's? The Rice Krispie Treats? Explain to me which cereal grains are.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you get, like, Cheerios, but, like, or not, it's, because cereal...
Are cereal grains groats? Groats are cereals.
Groats are probably closer to
they are, though. So are oats. I mean, that's a cereal
it's
grain.
Oats. You're looking for
oats. Yeah, because it's oats.
You want malted oats. And cereal grains are malted oats, typically.
And it tastes so good. And it's funky. And it's very hard to describe the sweetness that I think characterizes a malted beverage.
Because it's a richness kind of on the back of your tongue. But it's all around. It almost kind of emulates it's a caramelization, but also a roasted feel. So, like, it's got the bitterness of a char.
But it's so sweet. Oh, it's really sweet. What is that? Oh God, people are like, look at you smacking on the, look at you chewing on the fuck. Leave me alone, okay? I have a podcast. I'm from Brooklyn. At least I'm not a fucking transplant. Jesus.
Whoa. Just throwing out. You know, I came here with a dollar and a dream. Just like my forefathers, on a steamboat across the Atlantic.
I'm trying to distinguish exactly what the flavors here are. Ooh, that's interesting. Whoa. The malted flavor is very strong.
Yeah. Well,
whoa,
it's also
crazy.
Aged. It's aged in, ex-bourbon barrels, I think.
Yes.
I said that.
No, it is. It is. Yeah, it is. It is. It is. That's one of the things.
It's ooh.
Ooh.
So, okay. We take our award-winning classic pre-prohibition style rye mash bill and break conventional whiskey making norms by adding the whiskey lees into the barrels and periodically rotating them during the aging process. The result is a deep, complex whiskey with bold, rich taste and a silky finish with a hint of rye spice.
What I wonder is, at any point, do they filter out the lees and then measure the amount of lees that go in? Or do they leave all the lees?
I think you'd have to... Well, because the vats that they're fermenting in aren't the same barrels that they're aging in. So, that's true. They'd have to take out all of the lees.
They can weigh it.
Weigh it, portion it out. Yeah. That's just for brand consistency as well.
Fuck. It's so interesting because even when talking about craft liquor, it's like, how much of this is craft?
It's redemption, though. So it's like, they produce.
Yeah, it's not being rolled by... It's like a machine, probably, right? Like a roll, like rollers. Oof.
I think they're still small enough to where they would have like workers in the aging factory or on the ground, just like, all right, we got to get this shelf, turn it, burn it, and turn it, boys.
They probably have a setup, right? Like with like a rollers, like in a supermarket, like a conveyor belt. They have a forklift. Yeah, they don't just shake it or get the people to move it. They like. Probably take a forklift, put it onto a thing.
In all honesty, they probably have like just a conveyor belt type system on it.
Right? Yeah, probably. Oh, that makes sense. So that they don't have to even fucking, they can just agitate it occasionally.
But what I hope happens is that a guy in a forklift has to get down.
Is he undocumented?
No, he's union. Well, I mean, I guess that doesn't disqualify the other.
Does it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I just want to be paid well.
There's a guy in a forklift
and I
who grabs down
well.
A bottle or a barrel of whiskey.
He's part of a union. Okay. Yeah. I feel better.
He's forklift certified.
He wasn't documented, but they helped him.
They got him. Yeah. They got his bed. And then
it's important to me.
Another guy has like a little barrel leash that he clips to the barrel.
Oh, I love this.
And they just go on a walk like around the perimeter.
But it's comically, it's not like there's either two ways it can go. It's one, them like dragging the barrel and it's like pulling them back and they're like, come on, spot. Or the other one is the barrel is pulling them along.
I'm thinking they're walking at the exact same pace and they're about to turn the corner and the barrel sees another guy walking another barrel and starts rolling towards that way. He's like, oh, whoa, okay, easy, yeah. Bud.
And the barrel's just slosh, slosh, slosh.
Slosh,
slosh, slosh, slosh. Actually, the sloshing sound of a barrel would make it pretty terrifying. Kind of,
it's like
being in a boat. It's like being in the bottom of a boat.
Yeah,
you're like trapped. You can't get out. If you're listening to this only, you're not
like
watching, and it feels really claustrophobic.
Bow of a stern.
I'm glad. Now we're gonna simulate you being inside of a bourbon barrel.
Slosh, slosh, slosh.
It's really tiny.
Help! I can't get out. I'm in a bourbon barrel. Wait, is this an ex-bourbon barrel? Oh, I can't even use this for another barrel of bourbon. I think the flavor is impeccable. It's got definitely richness that I don't think they would be able to get with just aging on something that's this rye-y. Because it's got such a full-bodied sweetness. It's creamy. Like, it almost kind of reminds me of, like, International Delight Coffee Creamer.
Wow, look at that. Look at that.
When did we get that? Friday?
Fuck, man.
That was Saturday.
God, it was Saturday.
Oof. What a Saturday.
Fuck, man. Holy shit. We devoured this. And I'm glad because it's good. I want to make old-fashioned with it or something because I feel like that'd be good.
I'd be curious to see how it does in like a espresso martini.
I could really see that, like in a startup, like four other bourbons, like really trying to make something happen,
mm-hmm.
get a little VC capital.
Mm-hmm.
I can see a bright future for this bourbon. It's bourbon, right? No rye, sorry. Same shit. Don't you love how they just make bourbons, but not bourbons? They just make them rise and they put them in bourbon barrels.
And they're like, hey, it's bourbon enough.
It's like, hey, we were throwing away something.
Let's
put it in there.
Reuse, reduce, recycle.
Reduce, recycle. That's how I know you don't recycle. You litter on purpose. You throw your lees out.
Oh, yeah.
Do you even put your lees in your barrel?
I let my lees on the loose. I just let my lees roam free. I
Lascivious Lees on the loose.
Would you keep this in your whiskey bar? Because, like we've
said, it's $60.
Oh.
Obviously, it was annoying because after tax, it was like whatever the fuck, like 65 something. We bought a bunch of stuff. So I don't remember now after tax.
Yeah.
It was 8.875% New York sales tax.
That's so specific.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Neat.
So I feel like this is worth it. The value is good. You know, it's very good. It's interesting. It's not that specialty. It has like a fucking full battle rap. It's part of their signature series. This is like one of five of their interest. I'm not shitting on it. I'm not tricked. I'm not going to be tricked by some nice branding to think that this is like a small batch.
Wait, now let me tell you about their awards.
Oh.
They got double gold in the 2023 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. They got gold in the World Whiskies Awards and gold in the 2023 Ascot Awards. That's actually real impressive. Looking at some of their other specialties that we might want to try, they have a weeded bourbon, a high rye bourbon single barrel select, a rum cask finish, which I think either we've tried before or I've tried.
I think we tried that. Whoa, I think we tried that.
That one's not bad. And then a cognac cask finish. Have not tried that one.
Redemption. Oh, I remember the bottles. I remember the bottles now. We had the other one. We tried the other one.
Which one?
Is it cognac cask? No. It's the wine one. There's a wine one. Am I bugging?
There's a rum cask,
rum,
a cognac,
cognac,
and the Surly.
Cognac.
Yeah.
That was the one.
That was the one? So, yeah, we've tried. Wait, I don't think we tried the cognac one. The bottle is like.
Let me see.
Pretty fancy schmancy.
I've tried that.
You've tried that?
I have had that.
La-di-fucking-da. I think of the ones that are in their specialty series, the Sir Lee is the most interesting because it's just a whole new take, a whole new rendition. It's inventive. Like a weeded rye, yeah, that's cool. That's neat. I'm about it.
All right, let's talk Sir Lee. Sir Lee, of course, is... Sir Lee, 94 proof. A little high on the alcohol. At $60, it's an absolute value. Complex, rich, with a strong rye burn, but not overpowering. With a kind of sour mash-esque twang on the back end that's uncharacteristic of a rye, with just a little bit of smoke lingering on the tongue after due to the bourbon barrels. I think that's an adequate description, because the smoke from the bourbon barrels lays on your tongue after, because they just probably sat it in one for a while, right?
You know, walked it around in it,
so it didn't bond to all the ethanol, right?
It's sloshed.
So it's laying on your tongue a little bit, like, you know, that astringency is the little bit that's in there. The rye is not overpowering.
No, it's not too spicy rye. No. Like kind of like the 1776 rye is a very intense, in your face. Yeah.
It's particularly subdued. It's
solved, dude.
It's pretty mild. I think the rye aspect, especially being 94 proof. Come on, that's pretty high, right? I'm not really getting the ethanol burn. I'm not getting in my tummy. I'm not getting in my esophagus.
Compared to their regular bourbon, yeah. The regular bourbon's 88 proof.
Yeah.
So this is a little bit higher than that one. That one, let me look at what their rye usually comes in at.
And we've featured the Redemption. We have to do it again for video.
They're,
definitely. But we've had both the bourbon and the rye.
And the high rye bourbon is one of my favorite go-tos for
100%.
Having at a party. It's affordable. It's got mass appeal. This one, I think, has mass appeal.
But it worked. People liked it.
Their regular rye 92 proof. And their high rye bourbon, I think, is, oh, 92 proof as well. Yeah. So this outproofs both or all three of their regular whiskeys.
Though I feel like that ethanol burn, I know for me, I drink a bit, so maybe it's not burning me to death, but I feel like it is completely reasonable. I think the cost is good. I remember now it was $2 more cost than cost. It was like $62 instead of $59.99.
Huh.
And I think that it is worth that because at $60, what else do you get? I'm not saying there's nothing.
It's not. It's definitely something to write home about.
Because isn't Bullet also like $60?
Well, no. Like their
no, it's
leader.
Like 50, right? It's like 50.
Their leader is.
How
like...
How much is a 750?
750 is like probably 45.
It's
bucks.
Like $45, right? That's like almost 50. It's not as good as this.
Because like traditional bucks. Redemption is kind of in like the 29 to 35 range.
Yeah, it's like $30. And usually, that's the thing that's crazy is that the Redemption Rye and Bourbon are like $30.
Yeah.
Like I always see them like $30. They're sitting next to each other. It's the black and red label, I believe. Right? Isn't one red? No.
One's like a dark and then one's like... You got it right. You're correct. Yeah.
One is the color and one is like black or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
Oh, wait, didn't we just finish one? Didn't we just like destroy a bottle of Redemption?
Yeah.
Bourbon or rye? Like
it was the high rye bourbon.
Yeah, like recently. Yeah.
I love it. It's my go-to.
I feel like we should do it again for video.
I'm looking at their weeded bourbon, and I know I was talking shit earlier. I have second thoughts.
Mm.
Their high rye bourbon, also just very pretty looking. I think if we were to have a bar, I would want this whiskey, their weeded bourbon, and then like probably the Angel's Envy rye.
Oh, of course. Oh, I actually really like that.
And then maybe like the
one old fashioned's worth.
Perfect.
I mean, that's a dose. I like a
heavy old fashioned. And then I would finish it with the double rye from High West. That would be the flight that I would serve at a
I like
whiskey
that.
Bar.
Actually, I like that a lot.
Because I think this, it's dynamic.
It totally is.
You know what? This is actually something I would like to see the producers of Slaughterhouse and Whipsaw do, because they are partnered with Oren Swift, the winemaking company. I would love to see their take on something similar to this. They're a Napa-based.
Whoa, that'd be actually, I can imagine a lot of different interesting ways that you could do this concept.
Yeah.
With different liquors as well.
I wonder if it would work as well with a mezcal or something like that, or would that end up being too smoky?
So that's the problem, right? Is that there's a lot happening in each one of these things, and also, do you want to bring that characteristic to it? Which is a question, right? Because I guess for a rye, it's okay to make it a little, give it a little twang. For a rye, it's okay to play up and down the spice. But you don't want to like fucking make vodka weird. You know what I mean? You don't want to like make the gin too funky.
No.
You know what I mean? Like
you wouldn't want to funkify those ones. Most I'm thinking of like an aged rum. If you were to throw it, but I don't know if that would work either.
Are you gonna get with the cane sugar things?
Or molasses. Well, I guess you wouldn't age it with again. It's just the sediments after it ages.
Huh.
Because with wine, sometimes the skins and the seeds and the twigs and the grapes get into the ferment. But with whiskey, you strain a lot of that off so that mashes.
Which is why like terroir is not really a concern when it comes to like distilled liquors. Cause
so it's really just the sediments at the... You know what?
Whoa, does it reintroduce terroir?
No.
Come on. Because some of the terroir...
It's not terroir, though, at that point. It's tannin.
Yes, because it's been distilled out and filtered.
You know what what spirit I think would really benefit from this style would be apple brandy.
Oh. Of course you would. No, I really think that'd be, you know what, that makes a lot of sense.
I make sense sometimes.
I wonder if it makes it sour, though. That's the thing. That's
sour
why,
apple? Who ever heard of that?
That's why people, I think, do different things. Because some of the stuff sounds like beer.
I really love how fermentology, and like, it's, we're seeing a wave in whiskey making and production that is starting to become cross-discipline. Whereas, kind of up until now, people have been so limited in their whiskey production to where they just want to get something that's consistent, recognizable, and moves product off the shelves. But with these kind of like big enough to have income, but still craft enough to be trying new things, kind of distilleries like Redemption, like Maker's Mark.
I mean, how long ago was the Prohibition? Come on. Right?
It was 100 years ago.
Now, that seems like a really long time, right? But, like, I feel like we're finally getting into an era where a lot of these liquor makers are really... The industry is solid. There's a culture. There's now a history. Because the 100 years is built out of history.
And the stigmas are starting to drop.
Yeah. So, like, now they're able to do more. And then because these companies are really so big... And they're competing, and there's money to spend, right?
What I love seeing, too, is when you see businesses getting bought out by, like, a big conglomerate, but instead of just running out the competition, they just say, all right, keep making what you're making. Here's a little extra funding to just keep trying new things. Mm-hmm. And so people are... empowered to keep experimenting while still having to remain competitive. I think that's...
Which is where you get things like this, which is obviously a limited product, the way that video game special editions are limited. But it's like a limited product. It's priced normally.
I mean, it's a limited product the same way the McRib is limited.
Yeah.
It's not because they don't have the resources to make it. Is because they're trying something out and they're trying to build up hype so that next time they want to release a batch, there's some hype around it.
The next batch I might try. You know why? Because I think that the terroir doesn't influence it the same because it's distilled, but the way that the terroir will affect the grains that go into it, because the things are now... because the particulates are being left inside of it. Normally, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because it's all out.
Normally, all the terroir comes from the barrel.
But there's some. There is some because the lees are part of it. So whatever physical, it's not terroir, whatever physical characteristics and influence from the lees definitely is likely to be affected by the grain used and the season and harvest it's from. So I think that the same thing made the same way from the same grain may taste different, which does happen to other whiskeys. And I think that's going to happen here. So I'm interested, actually, the next time they release it and getting it and tasting it and seeing...
just what it's all about.
To see if it's different.
I really appreciate how this style has just given it a body that's kind of incomparable to other rye whiskeys.
Incomparable.
Because usually, in order to get this viscosity, you need some sort of corn or just a lot more malted barley in there. But they did it.
How?
Wrong pipe.
It's weird. I was like fucking with it in my mouth. I was chewing it. And I guess...
you're playing with your food again,
weren't
you?
It hit the back of my throat in a weird way.
Happens to the best of us.
No, I was feeling it's very interesting. It's thick. There's a little coating. I wish I would have done to see like the legs.
But it's high enough proof so that they evaporate.
Yeah.
Pretty.
They evaporate like almost immediately.
Yeah.
But the actual characteristic of the liquid itself is creamy.
Final thoughts. Where do you want to see it? Where do you want the where
middle shelf? My liquor bar, my whiskey bar is a little high quality. I'm definitely going to be doing mostly because I think it's important. I'm going to serve mostly probably like really affordable house cocktails. And I want my house cocktails to be made with like a brand name house liquor, not like a no name house liquor as you find like everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means for me, this would be like in the middle shelf, which will be pretty pricey because I'm going to have a lot of stuff on the bottom shelf that I think people wouldn't really put there because I want to have an accessible bottom shelf.
Yeah.
But this would be in the middle because I think this is interesting. I can charge a decent amount for it because it's pretty interesting.
Right? Pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting.
It's pretty interesting.
You know? It is only $60. We have spent more.
Yeah.
For less.
For a lot less.
For a lot less. This is worth it. You know it's worth it?
Because it's almost gone.
That's the test. That is absolutely a test. Because there are a lot of liquors that we get that we do like.
But they stay around a little bit.
They stay around a little bit. And we like something, decent amount. Every time we meet, we have some. But stuff that we like.
And this is one of those special cases where it's not so expensive, too, to where we're just like, oh, well, we got to save this. We got to hold on to these last sips.
That's a fact.
That's why in my whiskey bar, what you're saying, you kind of specialize in whiskey-oriented cocktails. And I would try to specialize in
a little cheap.
Variety of...
I mean, variety, not just whiskey.
Of themed flights.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And this would definitely make its way on a handful of those themed flights, either for its barreling and aging style, just for being a rye whiskey, too.
I would have an interest in whiskey's flight.
Yes,
this is on it.
This is on it. This is boarding for interesting whiskeys.
Put it on it. You put it on the menu, and you say
you're in flight group A.
You put it on the menu, and you put a little description. And it's like the lees are the sediment that's usually taken out of it, and it's put inside of the barrel, and it's agitated to give it extra characteristics. Sounds new. Sounds interesting. It's something that other people aren't doing.
I would put this on a flight with like
$18 shot.
$18 shot?
If you ever go to a bar.
Oh, you mean you would charge $18 for
a
shot? Oh, geez. Sorry, $18 shot just gives me the heebie-jeebies. It's like looking over the edge of a building. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. Whoa.
How much do you think
to tell me some people jump?
Some people go to a bar and ask for shots of Jameson. And they spend $15 a shot or $14.
That's absurd.
For Jameson. You could just buy a bottle for that cost. But I'll still do it, maybe, I guess.
I'm trying to think of what other... I'd probably have a barrel project next to it. Like either...
What would you call your barrel project?
My barrel project? Bear Claw. But the donut.
Mine would be called The Barrel Project.
The Barrel Project? Well, because I was going with, like, they got seagrass, and then they got dovetail, and I'm like, Bear Claw. It'd have something with some smoke to it.
We had dovetail.
Yeah.
We had dovetail. Oh, man, we've had some good whiskeys.
Anyway, let's wrap this.
Okay.
Check out Redemption Surly Rye.
After you make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
We are obviously big advocates for this whiskey, and stay tuned for some other very interesting. Not stay tuned, but like.
Watch the other things.
Watch the other things.
And then by the time you're done with them, we'll have new things.
Very new things. And new interesting things. We got so many interesting.
Ooh, I'm actually really excited for this summer.
Been talking about behind the bar,
the beach,
beach
booze.
So we've been doing mezcals, been doing weird whiskeys. I think we need to get into some reputable rums.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, that's been behind the bar.
I've been Chandler Phillips.
I'm James Beery, and
you don't gotta stay home, but you can't go here.
Woo! I was gonna do that louder, but I didn't want to blow your ears out. You should be happy. Peace.